But it's amazing how when we align ourselves to God's will to the best of our abilities, that He'll bring things into sequence. Amen? The worship leads into the transition, which leads into the message. And if we, you know, if we don't partner up and we don't try to determine what we're doing to create something, if we let God do it by His Spirit organically, wonderful things happen. Amen. The songs that were chosen this morning by the worship team segued into the transition period with Pastors Scott and Colleen, encouraging us and strengthening us. And then from there, it's flowing into the messages that speaking of the time and seasons that we're living in.
Yeah.
Amen. God is trying to calm the flock and encourage the flock. Amen. He wants us to continue to rest assured of knowing that regardless of what we see out there, regardless of what wolves are in the thicket, out beyond our ability to see, that the shepherd is nearby. Amen. And for us to not get worried and overcome, but to stay focused on Him. So that when I do, what I seek is what He wants us to seek. Isn't that what Pastor said? I grabbed it too out of the lyrics of that song. It's not what I see. And so I want to see what He sees. And in doing so, I want to seek what He seeks. Amen. You know, there's something so profound about the shepherd and his sheep that I just felt led to kind of segue into this morning. Good morning to everyone online. God bless you wherever you are, around the world, and in our sanctuary this morning. You know, the shepherd's relationship to the sheep was so profound that just the shepherd's presence brought rest to the flock. You know, I've seen videos of night vision videos of Bedouin shepherds out in Lebanon. And throughout the Middle East, and what the videos that I've seen, that you'll hear the dogs or the whatever the hunting animal, the predator is that out past the ability for the animals to see, is they're howling or they're barking or they're amassing to try to stir up the flock, and instead of the flock looking out into the darkness, all of the heads of sheep they're facing the shepherds. Their eyes are fixed on the shepherd, not what's causing them to be disturbed. It's so important for us to not be moved by the storm, but to know who's in the boat with us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this first service, there's something that is so wonderful about the ministry and the revelation of worship that God gave to the church through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and how that is a tool for us to connect to God. And I said first service, I'll say it again, when we leave this life, there's not going to be any more teaching. There's no more church. There's no more need for lights. There's no more need for a worship team. God bless them. There's no more need for us to be encouraged one to another, because we are going to be in the midst of encouragement.
Yes.
Right? We're going to be in a state of awe for eternity. For eternity, we will join with all of those who've gone on before us, and all of the hosts of heaven, and we will worship Him forever. And we'll never get bored. Why? Because we're going to gaze at something that is so incredible. Outside anything we could, whatever moves your heart to tears, whatever the newborn baby breaks you and just breaks you down, and how beautiful that is, that's nothing. Amen? And we're going to be, all we can do at that point is just acknowledge His greatness. But we have an opportunity to do it on the earth as well. See, we have this opportunity right now to kind of get warmed up, to work out, to get our spiritual muscles strengthened. Amen. So I want to encourage you, man. When we come before the presence of God, whether you're at home or you're in church or wherever you are, man, let it hang out. Let go. Just let go of who you are and all that besets you, all that you're holding on to, and let go. Because it's in those times, man, where you're going to get charged. You're going to know the shepherd is in charge.
Yeah.
The shepherd's watching over you. You are the most important sheep in His fold. And that's a true statement.
Yeah.
I'm the most important sheep in the Lord's fold. But that doesn't take it away from you, because you're the most important sheep in His fold as well. And everybody out there on the other side of that camera is the most important sheep in His fold. I love the fact that if Christ died for one person, it would have been worth it. If there would have only been one person that believed that He was the Lord, He would have done it. He would have climbed up on that cross no differently. It wasn't He was doing it for the masses. He was just being obedient.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor alluded a little bit to the state of the world that we live in, and I know that there's a lot being said, there's a lot going on, and it doesn't matter what direction we go in today, there is something that is buffeting against us.
Yeah.
Amen? I don't like the news. I don't like turning on the TV much anymore, because everyone's divided into some sort of camp opposing the other.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just ugliness. And even if you're a good person and you're being ugly, it's still ugly.
That's right.
Amen? It doesn't matter that you're my friend. If you're being ugly, you're just being ugly. And it does, and it's pitting everybody against the other. And the things that people are being branded as being are just heinous. Heinous. I thought we've moved far beyond the state of our country in the last 50, 60 years, and now we've just gone back to being filled with hate and spite and venom and ugliness. It's sad. It's very sad. But you know what? We are not of this world.
Amen.
Amen. We are to think on heavenly things. We are to keep our sights fixed and gazed on the works of the cross that works in and through our lives. Amen?
That's right.
For intercessory, for people of prayer, man, we try to do our best to avoid having our filters clogged with a lot of outside influence.
Yeah.
Because we don't, you know, that's a perfect example. A fast was called today. That was timid and tame compared to some of the fasts that we've read about in the Old Testament. Amen? When the king called the fast, the king stripped down out of his very fine garments and put on sackcloth. Fasts were not just for the people. Even the animals were forced to fast. Now, I don't know what sackcloth felt like in 10 AD or 100 BC or whatever it was. I don't know what, or 1000 BC for that matter. What did sackcloth feel like? I know what burlap feels like today, and I certainly wouldn't want to put that on my body. But I would imagine it was probably a lot rougher back then than it is today, even for burlap's sake, right? We got much more refined burlap today. But when a fast was called, it was so important because there was a call to clean the filters of society, get our minds out of where they've been. We need to focus on the problems at hand.
Yeah.
Faster, you know, man, I tell you, my natural man says, ugh, not a fast. Right? Am I preaching to myself this morning?
No, absolutely.
Nobody likes a fast. Man. It's not on a diet. I like that. You're not going on a diet. You're going on a fast. I thought, okay, I'll drink Diet Coke. I'm not a Coke person, but it's just funny. I'll take one for the other. But it was an opportunity for the people of God to have their minds cleared,
yeah,
to have their filters cleaned out. To focus on what is the most important thing and why. We need to hear the voice of God Almighty.
Amen.
We need Jehovah to speak to us and give us guidance, because right now we're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
And the deep trouble might be, yeah, your shop might be doing great, selling pots or grains or different things, but there's an army on the other side of the wall that when they bust through here, we're all going to be slaves. So there will be no economy. Amen? So it's not just that this is me, one king against another king, or an army amassing against my army. It's this could radically transform, it could work out to be very bad for us as a people.
Right.
And it did turn out that way many oftentimes. It was too late for them to fast and pray, because at that point, God's already passed his judgments, and the prophetic words that came from years prior are now playing themselves out. But I don't believe that's the way it is for us at this time and season, for us as a country. But for us as people, fasting is a darn good thing.
Yeah.
Whether your pastor calls it, or you in your time of prayer, the Lord calls you to fast. It's a good thing. It helps us clear the filters out so we can hear and see the world around us and our life in Christ with a much better vision or view. Amen? So given that, there were some things this during the season of time that we were praying about, and some things that we were seeing, and you know, anytime there's such social upheaval, there's great things going on in the spirit. And our country, being a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian values, there's always spiritual turmoil going on over our country. You know, I referred to it this morning as, you know, the The kingdom of darkness is always at work, and just as in the story of the Wizard of Oz, there was this great kingdom, there was this great place to go, there was golden roads, and the place was made of emerald stones, but when it came right down to it, the real power that the people, that the group of pilgrims were seeking after was nothing more than a man hiding behind a curtain, pulling levers and bellowing lightning and thunder and speaking into a megaphone.
Yeah.
Amen? It was a sham. But the problem is that the sham plays itself out to the multitudes as being real.
Yeah.
Amen? That's why it's so important for us to turn off the TV. I guarantee if you turned off the TV for 3 weeks, when you turned it back on, it would be the same thing that you left 3 weeks prior, and you didn't miss anything. Amen? And I say that with all sincerity. Turn it off. For you out there, turn off the TV, but not the computer. Not today. Not right now. Praise the Lord. But I want us to look this morning at what I'm calling. The message is called Overcoming the Squeeze of the Season. And I want us to look this morning in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And there's some things that I believe the Lord's revealing to the church in this day, in this era, that I think that it's helpful for us to grab a hold of as individuals, for our own life, but also for our life together as we work together in Christ, as we are co-labor together, and as we co-labor with other bodies. Amen. God's not so much concerned about what tribe you're in, it's just as long as you're in His tribe.
Amen.
Amen. And we, the sooner that the body of Christ can work together, great things are going to happen.
Right.
Amen. Think about if there was a national call to fasting. I mean a real national call to fasting where the people were broken and contrite and they needed change in our country. They were striving together in unity. There's no rules, there's no... You fast what you need to fast. Some people might fast food for 21 days. Praise God. If you can do it, God bless you. I just encourage you, relax. Take it in stride. 21 days of no food is a long time. I've seen a lot of people get really sideways that way, but it works, right? You'll get God's result if it's God's recipe. But what I began to see in this season is that there's some things that I think that the church needs right now. And the church needs, what the church needs is what I'm saying is the second wind. So let's look right now in chapter 2 in book of Acts, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. That's very important for the church right now, for us as individuals and for the church, that we're all in one place in one accord. That doesn't mean physically in one location. It just means that we are all working together. We stand together. We work with other bodies, which we do. We stand together. This isn't a denominational thing. It's not I'm right and you're wrong, or we're God's chosen and you're not. Sorry, I'm not the chooser. I'm just a worker, right? I'm just doing the work. And that takes, if I give that my attention, there's enough work to go around.
Yeah.
Amen? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. That must have been an interesting sound, because they identify it as a sound from heaven. That means they never heard it before. But they knew this is something different. Amen? And as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is when the Church of Jesus Christ was empowered with supernatural power from on high.
Yeah.
It was the fulfillment of the promise. Don't be afraid. I can't do all this work here. I can only do this work when I leave. But when I leave, I can send you a helper. That's more than adequate. He's going to be me, but he's not going to be me. But he's going to do everything through you that I would do, so that's just better.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I promise. See, the power of the Holy Spirit came on them, and not just on them, but now he had a place to dwell.
Yeah.
Before first service, Pastor Colleen talked about the church, the judgment falls upon the church, and I don't remember exactly how it came down, but the Word of God tells us that judgment started in the house of the Lord.
Right.
Well, we don't have to go to the temple anymore. Amen. The Holy Spirit now lives in a temple that was not made by man's hands.
Right.
That's us.
Yeah.
Amen? So judgment starts here. So as soon as we begin to judge the iniquities in our own lives and allow him to do the greater work in us, then we can start looking at what's going on externally. Amen? Jesus said, don't worry about that man's splinter because you got a plank in your own eye. It's kind of the same principle. Let's let the inner working of the Holy Spirit transform us. Therefore, he can start working on the greater church and bringing it together for his purpose. Amen? We don't want to just be Sunday go-to-meeting Christians. We want to be people that are endued with power from on high, truly. Yeah. Functioning and operating.
Yeah.
A clean place for his spirit to dwell. Amen? So this power and this anointing that came upon them, it sent them directly into the line of fire. You know, any time that you get fired up for God to go do something, any time that your life becomes this, that you have this transformative event that gets you geared towards doing something for God, immediately you have crosshairs are on your back. You're a target. Why? Because dead things are not worrisome to the devil. He's worried about you being empowered to do something for God.
Yeah.
Amen? Extreme warfare came upon them. It was set out. It was broken out against them to break down what had just happened.
Yeah.
You know, you got to figure from the cross to Pentecost was 50 days. So that makes me think the devil was probably still boiling hot. That his plan was thwarted, right? That he thought Jesus is dead. I got him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, no, you didn't. You got nothing. You what you thought you had, you got taken away from you. The authority that you really thought you had, you don't have. Now you have to wander furiously to destroy anything good that can come forth from the kingdom. So in 50 days, he's probably still boiling hot. Now the promise comes. And so all hell breaks loose against this 120 people.
Yeah.
Amen? This infant church was thrust into the heat of the battle. And they, in the natural, began to face great persecution. Amen?
Yeah.
So by the time we get to Acts chapter 4, this group of people is pretty beaten up. They're gassed out. Let's read in chapter 4 and verse 29. They're praying. They've come to a place now where they're on their knees. They're back on their knees again praying. And it says, now, Lord, look at their threats. And grant to your servants with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They've basically just said, Lord, we didn't do something right because we ran out of gas. We may have ran out the door after that day where 3,000 came to you, and we were so excited about that day. We all had a different tongue, and we were speaking in other languages, and we had the experience of seeing miracles happen, that the same way that you performed them, the lame were being raised up, the deaf were hearing, the sight of the blind was coming back to them. And now here we are. They weren't two chapters later, but I'm giving us that preference. Two chapters later, Lord, we're gassed out. We've been beaten. Some of us have been killed. We're imprisoned. We're fearful. All the things that we didn't feel on that one day, well, now they've all come back and we're feeling pretty low.
Yeah.
And then it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Yeah.
Amen? The Bible says that when they prayed, when they identified their lack, when they identified their failures, when they said, Lord, we didn't do something right. You see what they're doing to your church. We're not losing the ability or the willingness, Lord. We just need your power once again. We're identifying that we're lacking. We're not just going through the motions,
yeah.
Right? This isn't just for me only, because whatever happens out there, it happens to them. But I'm saved. I'm one of the elect. What do you think God thinks about that kind of a mentality from the believers of today? I'm going to heaven. If I, you know, I'm just staring clear of those crazies out there. God wants us to be emboldened. He wants us to identify what we're lacking and to cry out for that we need to be filled again.
Amen.
Amen? The first church got a second wind. Amen?
Yeah.
They started out strong, but they forgot where the source of their anointing was, and it was from God alone. See, the anointing comes from God.
Yeah.
It's not mine. I don't have an anointing. I have nothing. It comes from God. I prepare a message. I get up here. I do my best not to make a mess of it or make my wife embarrassed. God's got to bring the anointing. He has to take what I've prepared and disseminate it so that it touches every one of you in a different way. That you receive from it, that your heart is now open to it, that you're allowing the work of the Spirit to pour in and to do whatever He needs to do and work things around and cause your eyes to see and your ears to hear and your heart to beat stronger and you to be filled with zeal. That's His job. It's not mine. Praise God. I don't have to muster that one up. If that was the case, then I'm just a used car salesman selling you something that you don't need. Right? Beach Run Property in Phoenix, Arizona. They received a second wind. What is a second wind? A second wind is a phenomena that the physical, natural body, that happens in the body when it's under great physical distress. It happens more often with athletes, but it can also happen when you're physically working. If you're digging ditches and you got a lot of ditch to dig, at some point in that line of ditch, your body may give out. It's just tired. I'm exhausted. But there's something that happens in your physical body that causes all the exhaustion to kind of wax away, and now you've got that strength again that you had when the shovel hit the ground the first time. They don't know if it has something to do with your body's ability to properly balance oxygen intake with lactic acid. They don't really know. There's a lot of hypotheticals involved in that. But it is a phenomenon that we can say it does happen. I can testify it's happened. I wasn't always this soft. I used to be, what did I say earlier in the first service? I didn't have a middle schooler around my midriff. I was a much healthier young man at one point, and young. Yeah, I was that too. But regardless of the cause, there's no disputing that it actually happens. And I'm sure many of you can testify to that phenomenon.
Right.
But many of God's people today have reached this point of exhaustion. The church has come to a place in this era where we've resolved to hide ourselves in behind our four walls. To stay in with tight groups like were those people being persecuted. We're keeping ourselves away from the exposure of the outside world because of what stands against buffeting us. It's like being in a rainstorm and all you have on is a t-shirt. I'm bald, just so you know. I don't have any hair that slows rain down. So the first drop of water, it's almost like two fingers smacking you on the top of the head. And then you got another one. And it's just the worst feeling. And so you know what I'm saying. People sometimes don't want to run out into a rainstorm without proper clothing on because in the spirit, it's better to stay inside. That's not what God wants. Amen?
Amen?
That wind blew so that the church would grow.
Yeah.
Amen? See, in this season, we've been spiritually out of breath, exhausted. And I'm testifying as pastoring various churches. We just moved back home up here last August, so we've been here about a year now. We left a pastorate there. We stepped away. We had, mom was getting old. Mom had been fighting cancer. My wife Sean and our daughter Samantha were traveling up every couple of weeks to be with mom, and it was exhausting. And the Lord finally told us to take a step of faith and step away from our church, to leave what we had started and move home. And for me there, the time that I pastored there and the works the pastor, the churches we had planted prior, there is an exhaustion that's coming to the body. It's not just from the leadership, it's from the people. People are becoming spiritually exhausted. They'll find reasons not to fellowship. They'll find reasons not to go to church. There's a squeezing that's coming over the minds and the hearts of people. See, many years ago, Sean and I had experienced and encountered various times of ministry with individuals, but even in times of prayer, we began to see what is kind of has been coined the Python spirit. And it works just like the name, its name sounds. It's a constrictor. It squeezes the breath out of its victims. It squeezes the breath out of the hopes and the excitement for kingdom purpose. It squeezes the zeal that young believers get when they finally grab a hold of Jesus and they're so excited to do things for him. And then over the course of time, they just find themselves relegated to just maybe going to church, maybe going to Bible study. Things just constrict and constrain and squeezes until every time you exhale, it squeezes a little tighter. And you try to gasp and it squeezes. And you, every time you gain a little bit of strength, it squeezes. And it holds you in a state of just getting by, of stealing from you. See, we give it a name, but really it's just another assignment from hell. It doesn't matter how you coin it. Doesn't matter what it is. But it acts as a squeezer of purpose, and it steals the breath of God out of people. From Genesis to Revelation, the devil is often referred to as a serpent or a snake. And so it only makes sense that this is something that we can identify with in the natural world, how he works, how he sneaks. But Jesus tells us that we will tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the devil. So Jesus is giving us a little precursor to what it is that we're facing. We're facing with sneaky things that slither on its belly and doesn't make a sound. But it's always mindful of your surroundings. And the devil can't read your mind. He's not that powerful. He is given power. He has no power of his own. He's not something that, he's not God. He can't read your mind. But what he does have, thousands of years of human history. If I poked at Pastor Scott's great-grandfather in one way and he reacted, and then the next generation comes along and his grandfather, I poke at him and he reacts to it, and then Scott's dad, poke at him the same way, he reacts to it, all of a sudden, I don't need to read your mind. I know if I could just poke you, you're going to react. So think about that over the billions of people that have walked the earth since Adam. He's a master of the human condition. Amen? So he knows how we react to things. He knows how we think about things based on the history and how things have played out with all the generations before us. I don't give him any credit, and I'm not up here to try to make it to give anybody fear or put any fear about who you're dealing with. But the reality is, he's a lot smaller than he puts himself up to be. He's just the gnat that just won't seem to leave you alone. Right? It just becomes another one of God's purposes. You start out excited to do something for Jesus today, and then tomorrow you're deflated, you're discouraged, you're afraid, and you're hopeless. Just another purpose of God squeezed out and stolen. Daniel tells us in chapter 7 and verse 25, he says, he, the devil, shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Man, turn on the TV today. It may not be talking directly about God, but it's anything that makes sense that is good is being demonized. Amen? Shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints, shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a times and half a time. We are on the precipice of being given into his hands. I believe that. I believe any time in history you could have basically looked at those scriptures and probably testified to the same thing. But the only thing that keeps the church of Jesus Christ in the earth from being given over is the prayers and the petitions and the people of God that stand against the works of darkness and attempt to prevail against it. Just hanging on the truth that the gates of hell will not prevail against you is truth enough to know that I'm not bowing a knee to that thing. Amen?
Amen.
See, my focus is on the kingdom. It's not on what goes on Capitol Hill. I pay attention because I want to pray correctly. I want to pray effectively. I want to pray against the things that I see going on behind the curtain. You know, it's not the people. Remember, you're not praying against people. That's witchcraft. You're praying against demonic things that are going on in the background. You're praying against the works of iniquity that are trying to prevail against the kingdom of God and against his people. Stealing souls, you're praying against that. You're not praying against the weird lady or the weird man, or you're not praying against whatever.
Right.
You're praying God's will be done.
Yeah.
Focused prayer. Amen? To be persecuted means to afflict, to harness, to exhaust, to push to fainting or weariness, to put under continuous pressure or strain. This is the season of persecution. This is a season of persecution and fear, like I believe has never been released in the earth. It is quite insane out there right now. Everybody's going in different directions, and everybody hates each other. And they all think they're right. Right? It is so spiritual. Social unrest, political ugliness, global disease, rampant hatred. Crazy. We're all experiencing this in one form or another. Amen? Whether we're facing it directly or we're witnessing it and it's grieving our hearts, we're dealing with it. We all have to deal with it.
Yeah.
We all deal with things that we know are wrong. Sam is four. I know when Sam does something that needs to be corrected, I'm right there to do it. But when you're dealing with social issues, it's hard to be the voice of reason in the midst of so much chaos. Sometimes it's like, I got to just put my fingers in my ears. I got to get on my face. And I got to get before the only voice that I really should be listening to anyways. First for myself. So I get my sanity and keep myself spiritually whole. Then I got to find out, God, what are you saying in the midst of all this? What are you wanting me to hear in the midst of all this? If it's nothing, then I won't go back to it. If there's nothing that's got to play itself out or however the Lord wants me to work through it, great. That's what I'm going to do. Amen? Some of us have been under pressure physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And every time we seem to get a victory in one area, the devil comes along and blindsides us in one form or another. It might be health, health to finances, finances to health, son or daughter, somebody's spinning out, co-worker, workers, employees, somebody's not showing up. There's things that are distresses and strains. We always seem to be like we're being two steps forward and one step back. We're going uphill in the sand. He's trying to wear you out. He's trying to squeeze the very life or the breath of God out of you.
That's
right? The breath of life. The breath, we know, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit living and working in and through you. Amen?
Amen.
See, if you have no life in you, as I said before, if you have nothing firing your rocket, then you're no threat to the devil. The valley of dry bones was no threat to the devil until the breath of God or the wind of God blew over those bones and they stood erect. And through the course of time became living, breathing army once they received the breath of God in their lungs. Amen? That's a picture of us being dead to our sin, receiving God, receiving Jesus. Now we're standing erect, but we need the nuah of God, the breath of God to enter into our lungs so that we can now be geared and driven and focused and hearing commands from the throne room, being given life. 120 discouraged followers in an upper room were no threat to the devil. Jesus said, just go there and pray. That didn't say anything happened, right? It wasn't until the wind blew that day and they were filled with his spirit. Now the devil's got a problem. 300 foxes were no threat to the Philistines until Samson tied their tails together and tied a firebrand to each one of those pair of foxes and sent them off into the fields. Those foxes destroyed the corn, the wheat, the grape vineyards, and the olive groves of the Philistines. That was a weapon of mass destruction, folks. For the economy of the Philistine people, it was gone in one fell swoop. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a good image for us. Samson couldn't do all that himself, so he used the wisdom from heaven.
Yeah.
Amen? Jesus didn't want to or couldn't do it all himself, so he needed to empower all of you and me to do it for him. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what the devil's afraid of, the breath and the fire of God. He's not afraid of our programs. He's not afraid of our singing or our preaching or our church attendance or our talents or even our knowledge of the Bible. He's not afraid of it. When everything is driven by the wind of God, by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, everything changes. I talked about this last service. We're entering into a season when the winds are going to start changing direction. The winds are going to change from east to west. We're not going to get the wind off the ocean anymore. It's going to start blowing from the east, blowing west. Those are hot, dry winds. It's our fire season. But none of us are going to get our power taken out, shut off this year. In Jesus' name. That's not happening this year. In Jesus' name. See, it was the wind of God that divided the Red Sea so the children of Israel could cross over. It was the same wind that closed the Red Sea on top of Pharaoh's armies. It was the wind of God that dried up the water after the flood. It was the wind of God that brought the plagues of locusts to Egypt. And it was the wind of God that took them away. It was the wind of God that brought the quail to feed the complaining Israelites. It was the wind of God that brought the rain that ended a 3.5-year drought. Yeah. It was the wind of God that turned a valley of dry bones into a mighty army. And it was the wind of God that blew through that upper room on that day that we call Pentecost. Yeah. And turned a bunch of broken-hearted, discouraged disciples into the greatest fighting force for God that the world has ever seen. Amen? Yeah. It was the birth of the New Testament church. That's your church. That's what you stand to partake of and be an inheritor of, and to stand to leave as an inheritance for those who are left behind after you go and leave this life. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So now we see in Acts chapter 4 that the early church was in a state of persecution. Followers of Jesus were being beaten, and they were being directed to silence their faith. It sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Some of the craziest things are what we're allowing to be opened, but yet churches cannot. I feel bad for those poor people at grocery stores that have to stand behind those checkout stands. All day long, people come by just to buy the groceries. They're essential. I get it. So is this. And I don't see anybody laying on top of each other, sharing whatever. Droplets. Thank you. What did the Prime Minister of Canada say? Sorry, on the internet. Talking moistly. Yeah. Talking moistly. Anyway, I don't talk moistly. I talk moistly to my wife. But I'm not talking moistly to Pastor Scott. We don't need to get that close. I can talk to him from 6 feet, no problem. There's no moistly going on there. Praise God. But instead of being quiet and conforming, what do? They prayed. They realized where they were failing. They said, "Lord, we need to change because we're not doing what we were doing. We need something. We need a retooling. We need a rethink a way of thinking. We don't want to just do this every day and play Christian. We don't want to just cower and hide house to house and social distance. Well, we're going to get together, but there's no breaking of bread today because we got to be real fast. No." We're the head, not the tail. Amen. Right? We're blessed coming in and going out. Right. I'm blessed with COVID or not with COVID. I don't care. Amen. And if I go to Jesus tomorrow, well, I beat y'all there. Right? I don't want to leave this life, and I don't want to be sick, because sick's no fun. But you're not going to threaten me with heaven. And I don't want to be unsafe, and I don't want to be foolish, and I don't want to put myself in or my will upon yours and make you sick. And we live in a free country, hallelujah. But we're also adults. We're also smart enough to make decisions for ourselves. Right. Humans have made it this far. God did a pretty good job. Yeah. All right, I'm done with that. Amen. So let's look at this again. In chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your words. Grant this to us, God. We beseech you, Lord. Yeah. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Yeah. And then when they got done praying, God says, "You got it." Bam. See, we can't take for granted what we receive. You know, we're not card-carrying Christians. We're spirit-filled believers. We're like dangerous. We're dangerous, not to the world or to each other. We're dangerous to the devil. You know, police officers carry themselves in a certain demeanor. You know what I mean? Not because they're puffed up or they're full of themselves, but because they have authority that they know they have. They don't walk into a room and cower and hide in the back and sit in the back of the room. If they have a situation, they come in there. They're the authority. They're not here to receive your authority. You're not putting your authority on me. I'm the police officer. I'm here because I need to be. I'm the man of the authority, right? And because of that, we have the same authority that's been given to us. The devil's not going to push me or you around, and I'm not going to let him see you being pushed around and not step in and say, hey, you're not doing that anymore, right? I have the authority. I have kingdom authority. I have a badge. I have a brand. I have ownership. My owner, my master has put a mark on me and gives me authority. It might be a spiritual badge that I have authority over those works that are trying to prevail against God's people. And so do you. Amen? So do you. So do you. I was always told when I was being raised in preaching and ministry is to not point. But, you know. They got a second wind. They got a refilling, a refreshing, a fresh fire, a fresh baptism. And then when we skip over to chapter 5, we see a difference in their administration and in their demonstration, how the power was demonstrated. And it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among them, and they were in all accord. Once again, they're in all accord. Remember, in chapter 2, they were in one place in one accord. Chapter 4, sky's falling, right? And now back in chapter 5, here we see them again. Man, many signs and wonders are being done. The preaching of the word, once again, there's administration. The church is being built now. Now we're creating, the administration of the church was starting to happen. Yeah. Signs and wonders were following the preaching of the word. They were all in one place in Solomon's porch, which is a place. Praise God. Am I speaking to somebody this morning?
Amen.
Have you felt the spiritual squeeze? Have you noticed this and maybe not have been able to put your finger on it? Have you needed a breath, but you felt spiritual life leaving you? If you felt it's been a season of just rolling with the punches, just one week to the next. Sometimes it's one day to the next. I've been there. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to the choir today. I'm preaching to myself. Has your hope and excitement for kingdom purposes being replaced with fear and dread? Fear is a very real thing right now. It's a very real thing right now. See, we're just putting our finger on something this morning. We're exposing the devil for his lies. I want you to be encouraged. And if this doesn't fit you this morning, now you have something to take someplace else and encourage somebody else with. That's the beauty of this. This isn't just to come for an hour or 2 hours on a Sunday and have some good spiritual chow and go off and live your week. Now you've got some. Now you've been weaponized. Amen? In February of 2018, it's a little back thing I wanted to share. Billy Graham went to meet face-to-face with Jesus. See, I felt a great loss in the church. You know, he was such a great pillar. It was something that just seemed to have been lost. Probably more about me because it's not giving God the credit, but I was so thankful for the life that he had lived for generations, right? Doing the work of the kingdom and saved so many. I don't even know if they've ever put a number on perspective or souls that he that have made come into the kingdom because of his ministry. I'm sure it's out there. But it didn't take long for Satan to begin filling the airways and cyberspace with everything that man didn't do perfectly right in his life. Right? It's just not good enough just to say goodbye, Billy. It's like, did you know something about Billy? Hey, did you know Billy did this or didn't do that or wasn't this type of a dad or did this to his wife or whatever it was? I don't even remember. Thank God I don't, and I don't care. Because there's not one perfect person. Well, there is one. And he walked the earth, but he doesn't walk the earth anymore. His spirit lives within me. And if I worked hard enough, probably I could dig up something on every person in this room and every person who's viewing on cyberspace. And find something out that you didn't do perfectly and say, see what they did when they were little? See what they did when they were young? See what they did yesterday? See? See how bad they are? That's the devil. That's the devil. My God doesn't expose me like that. Praise God. His grace covers my failures. And there are many. And there are many yet to be exposed. Why? I'm human. I was born fallen. But praise God, I have to live in this fallen body, but my spirit will not be fallen. It's not fallen and won't be fallen when I leave this life. Amen?
Amen.
So I asked God that day in prayer. I said to the Lord more of a statement, America needs another Billy Graham. And the Lord kind of stopped me. The Lord said to me, there are millions of Billy Grahams in America and on the earth doing the greater works. The Lord said, what America needs is a fresh breath of air.
Amen.
It needs a fresh breath of air. America needs to stand up once again and receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean as professing it. I mean literally begin to allow His work in and out of your life so you don't end up like Acts chapter 4.
Yeah.
Right? We all got Acts chapter 2. Woo! And if Acts chapter 4 ever came into our lives, maybe we're still living there. We're just rolling with the punches. Playing a tennis match with the devil in our Christianity. But there's a way for us to live above the tennis match. Amen?
Amen.
He said that America, the church, needs a second wind from heaven, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. The greatest need of the church today is a fresh anointing, a fresh focus. This is what I think what the Lord's telling us. A fresh focus towards heavenly things. We focus on way too much peripheral stuff. You know, I always told my sons when they were young, growing up in the young adult life, that you know, in life you can't always go after the flashy thing. If you always go after the flashy thing in life, you're going to end up in somebody's boat. We don't want to end up in somebody's boat. Amen? See, we're not going to find the fresh breath of God on Twitter, on Instagram, on TV news. If we're not careful, we're not going to find it either on Christian television, because that's not a lot of good news. We always have to kind of show you the bad news to get to the good news. Amen. See, those venues are where God's people are being targeted and beaten down. We're going to have to find it the way the early church did. On its knees in prayer and fasting. Right? We're going to have to find it through discipleship. Brothers and sisters, we still need discipleship. We never outgrow being discipled. Just because you're a little bit older doesn't mean that you don't have something that you could learn. And if you got something to give, give it. There's always people that need discipling. Fellowship is so important for us to be together, strong fellowship. Exposing our burdens, letting them be known one to another. Exposing sin in my life and saying, hey, Josh, I got this going on. I need you to stand with me in prayer. Why? Because when you expose sin, it's disarmed. You just disarmed it. It doesn't have the power to keep making you feel bad about your bad stuff. Praise God. See, when we open ourselves up to all this negativity, that thing begins to squeeze. Stand with me this morning. I want us to raise our hands to heaven. Raise your hands to heaven this morning. Just begin to breathe in and out. You know, we like to do things, sometimes they're called prophetic acts. It's biblical. It's not hokey pokey. It's not weird. Biblically, Paul had his hands tied and bound, but he would be taken away, and it was the correct word. It was just the wrong season. You know, Jesus put loaves and fish in those baskets, but there wasn't much. That was a prophetic act. Every time they put their hand in that basket, food came out. Amen. So I just want us to call out, Father, right now in Jesus' name, we call for that second wind over our lives. Just agree with me right now in prayer. A fresh wind, a fresh breath from your throne, God, bringing our life to us and renewing and strengthening us, O Lord. We renounce the works right now and the effects of that constricting python spirit right now. We renounce them, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Now I want us to, if you feel led, if you feel so led, as a prophetic act, begin to uncoil that thing. from around. If it's around, if your mind has been assaulted, if you've been gripped with fear, remove that thing. Just unwind it from your mind. If your body's been gripped with sickness, if you have inflammation in your joints, remove that thing right now in Jesus' name. Just unwind it. It might be silly, but you know, you're just being crazy for Jesus right now. You're not insulting me. And you begin to breathe in and out. Receive, as Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, right now we just need an extra touch. We need to fill our gas tanks, Lord. Fill us to the brim, Lord, to where we need to be. New life and new purpose right now in Jesus' name. And even as the Word says, restore unto us the things that were stolen, what the worms have taken, what the locusts have devoured right now, God. Restore unto us. Renew unto us, Lord, an excitement and an exuberance to continue the work that you put before us. Light a new fresh fire in our spirits, Lord. Burn up the things, the chaff. I just think of that old song, just the rushing wind to blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Oh, let that happen for us this morning, God. Exhale, breathe it out. Breathe it out, breathe them in. Take in all you can, fresh oxygen, fresh breath from heaven. See, you're not going under right now. I'm telling you, you're going over. You are not defeated this morning. You are victorious in Jesus' name. And you're not gripped with fear, but you're filled with hope and expectations. See, running out of gas is not a bad thing. We all do it. We're all going to do it. The sin that falls into it is when you feel you can continue to go with no gas in the tank. And you do things in your own effort. Now you've taken God's ability to touch your life, and you've removed His ability and His anointing to flow through you. So right now, just let it go. Lord, we're letting go of our own abilities, our own natural gift sets. We're letting go and letting God right now, that old adage right now. We're letting you be the Lord of our lives. Lord, we're getting out of the driver's seat. We're letting you drive our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that the good news is that the Holy Spirit that filled that upper room in Acts chapter 2 is the same Holy Spirit that blew through that room in Acts chapter 4. The same Holy Spirit that filled that upper room right now is filling this room, and it's giving us a fresh wind, a fresh start, and a new chapter. So tell Him right now, Lord, I'm ready for a new chapter. I need a second wind, Lord. I want a fresh start. And I want a new beginning. And just continue to breathe Him in this morning and breathe out. And I don't want to leave here until you have received what you need to receive from Jesus. And so I'm asking that if you need prayer, please come forward this morning. I don't want anybody to leave this place wishing that they would have come forward and had someone stand with them as you let go of things and allow the Lord to transform some things in your life, to get a fresh perspective, to hear that someone stand with you, to raise your arms up in victory. You know, God wants to do great things through each one of us, but it requires us to be willing and obedient to let go of ourselves and be a useful vessel for His glory's sake. Amen? Amen. Father, bless your people. As we go from this place, Lord, those who need prayer, let them stir their hearts right now to receive from you, to come forward, Lord, to have brothers and sisters stand with them. Bless our weeks ahead, God, as we continue to work through this season. We embrace, Lord, what you're doing in the earth. And Lord, we're not looking to Washington to be our source of hope and excitement. But Lord, we're looking to the throne of grace to fill us with an overflowing, inexhaustible fuel of hope and grace. We thank you for that hope and grace. Lord, even as Pastor said this morning, as she said that we were, that everything good thing comes from you. We thank you, Lord, that you are where our help comes from. And we focus on you this morning. We focus on you this morning, the author and the finisher of our faith. So let your Holy Spirit dwell fully within us as we leave this place. Let our life be a testimony. Let our light shine to those around us. And that we will see the atmospheres change everywhere we set our feet. Atmosphere changes this morning. We declare it to be done and so this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.